We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now I want you to notice these verses. The world was condemned before Jesus came. It was already condemned. He didn't have to condemn it. The world was under condemnation before the Lord Jesus Christ ever came down to this earth by way of the body of the Virgin to be God manifest in the flesh. Now, we read in the first chapter of Romans, at one time all the world knew God. In other words, the knowledge of God was universal over the world. Man knew that knowledge. He perverted that knowledge. Back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve knew God and knew what God expected of them, had a perfect understanding with it. They knew the demands of God. And they knew the base of their fellowship with God. And they were told what to do and what not to do. And the information they had was definite and clear, and they understood it. They show in the temptation that they knew what God said and what he meant. All right. Now, when they sinned, and the human race sinned, then they stepped under condemnation. The soul is sinner that shall die. They rebelled against the head of the universe. The one who has all authority and all power in the universe is Almighty God. So the whole world is under condemnation. Naturally, normally under condemnation. We belong to a fallen race, a condemned race. God has judged man in the flesh and set man aside. Now man was judged, Adam and Eve was judged. There was nothing they could do, but God could set the old man aside, the old nature. Now then, God could pass over the sins of the old man, or the Adamic man, up until Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. Now, I want you to notice something, and I don't want to get technical, because I think there's a good deal of danger sometime in our trying to be technical. I think we get in trouble, we get to arguing and discussing things sometime, and they don't help us much spiritually. But I want to call your attention to something that's very interesting. Now, when Jesus Christ said to the dying thief on the cross, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise," that's what he told him. Now, he didn't take the thief to heaven with him. He went to paradise. Now, notice this closely. In the Old Testament, when a man died, he went to Sheol or Hades or hell. Now, you know, we repeat one of the creeds, he descended to hell. That used to shock me, but that's absolutely correct. Hell or Hades or Sheol in the Old Testament was simply a place for the departed dead. But all the people that died went to Sheol or Hades or to hell, if you want to put it that way, because that's the English word. But they didn't go to the same place in the place of the departed dead. Now, there was one compartment that was different from the other compartment. There was a compartment called paradise, where Jesus went with a thief that time, after he died on the cross. Today shall be in paradise. But now that part was a compartment of Sheol or Hades. Now, the other compartment was a place of suffering. A place of suffering. Now, notice closely. The rich man was in the place of suffering, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, or paradise. But they were separated by a gulf. Now, in the Old Testament, when a man died, he went to his place. If he was a bad man, he went to a bad place. If he was a good man, he went to the same country, you might say, or same territory, but they were separated. For instance, we live in Greenville, somebody else lives in New York, but we all live in America. They all went to Sheol or Hades, but they didn't go to the same place. See, there's a difference there now. Let's understand that now. All right? Now, nobody went to heaven till Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is, to the heaven where God the Father sits and Jesus Christ, his Son, at his right hand. Now, when Jesus Christ ascended on high and led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto man. He led captivity captive. That's the point. Now, when he rose from the dead, he took everybody out of the compartment of paradise, where the good people were, up to heaven with him. So now then, there's no paradise. There's no purgatory. There's no intermediate state of the dead. If you're good enough to go to heaven any time, you're good enough to go when you die, see? So it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, that's perfectly clear. Now, notice just for a minute. In the Old Testament, God passed over the sins of people when they had the sacrifices, the lamb and the sacrifices on the altar. And the blood of the bullocks and all that could not take away sin, see? But God Almighty took what they offered, the blood that was shed on the altar, and just passed over the sin until his own son died. But they did not go straight to heaven in the Old Testament. They were down there in the compartment of paradise, and all back through the Old Testament they were there, all of them. And when Jesus Christ descended, he went down to paradise. And when he came out of paradise, he took them with him, see? And all the Old Testament saints stayed out of heaven, as we know heaven, until Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, I think that's perfectly clear in the Bible. So Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world. That's not why he came. The world was already condemned. It was already a sinful world. A race had gone out on its own. Well, why did he come? Well, he did not come to work and end the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to lift the condemnation, not to condemn it. That's why he came the first time. He didn't have to condemn it. The law had already been declared, and the man understood it, and man sinned and admitted he was a sinner. And the man that would come to God could come in the right way. For instance, you take Cain and Abel. Now, what did Cain do? Well, Cain said, you know, I'm not going to bother about bringing a lamb to the altar as a sacrifice. I'm going to come to the altar with my product of my work, my field, my grain, my what I produce myself. Otherwise, I'm going to offer God something I've done, see? Not something he told me to do, but something I've done. That's the man that says, I'm a moral man, I'm all right. All right, now Cain, that's where the battle started back then. Cain represented the man who wants to be saved on his merits. Abel represents a man that knew he could not be saved on his merits. He had to come God's way, see. And all down through the Old Testament, people did come God's way. Enoch walked with God, Elijah, and all those Old Testament prophets and saints in a wicked age. Noah did, and God saved him the flood that was coming. But let's understand it. Let's get this clear now. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world. He sent Jesus Christ so the world would not have to be condemned. It was condemned already. He that believes on him is not condemned. You're out from under judgment. You know, as I sit here and talk to you today, I know I've sinned. I know I've done what I shouldn't have done. I know I have. You know you have too. But I'm not condemned because my sins are forgiven. I'm not under condemnation. I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And his blood covers my sin. You're not condemned. Now, listen, you'll never come into judgment in the sense that a sinner comes. We read in the Bible very plainly, he that heareth my words and believeth on me who sent me is passed out of death into life and shall not come into condemnation, literally judgment, shall not come into judgment. There is no condemnation, that is judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, you'll meet God sometime and you'll get your rewards for your service. Some people have more reward than other people because that's something you can earn. You earn reward, but you don't earn salvation. Salvation's a gift, the gift of God's eternal life. By grace are you saved. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. You can't partly pay for it. You can't buy it on the installment plan. The gift of God, G-I-F-T, gift of God, is eternal life. Now, sin, the wages of sin is death. Well, you say, Bob Jones, that sounds easy. Well, it's not so easy as you think. You know, it's harder for a fallen man to take this as a gift than it is to try to earn it. The man's tempted to earn it. It's not easy. It's not easy for a man that's listened to the devil's lie and wrongs the fallen race to come up and say, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Why, man, so constituted, he won't say, you know, I've got a right here, see? He won't say, well, you know, I'm good as the rest of them and all that kind of situation. You'll never be saved that way. If you ever come to Jesus, you're going to come like everybody else comes. In my hand, no price I bring. I can't save myself. I can't earn salvation. I can't pay for it after I get it. I just come to Jesus and trust him. Here I am, poor sinner. I come around. It's a gift I want. Well, somebody says, what difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world. When you get this thing, then you go to work for Jesus. You work not to be saved, but you work because you are saved. You're saved by grace, not by works. But after you are saved, then you go to work for God, not to be saved, but you love him. You don't work for your wife to get her, you already have her. But you work for her because you love her. You work for your children. You don't work for them to get them, they're there around your knee now. But you work for love, see? You want to be good to your wife if you're a decent man. Good to your children. And you work. A mother takes care of her children not to get the children. She has them in her arms. But she's tied to them with cords of love. Now, I serve Jesus because I love him. He's my Savior. He died for me. I'm trusting him. Well, I'd want to pour out my life for him. I couldn't think of getting along without him. See? All right, now that has to do with those who are saved. But a sinner doesn't love Christ. A sinner doesn't love Christ. If you're a sinner, you love yourself. You're self-centered. The devil's your father. And all that kind of thing. So now he said, he who believeth on him is not condemned. But he who believeth not is condemned already. He's already condemned. You don't have to do anything to be lost. The question not what must I do to be lost, the question what must I do to be saved. You're lost already. You've sinned, and the Bible says the soul is sinning, it shall die. It didn't say if you commit a big sin. He didn't say that. He said the soul is sinning. The moment you sinned, your soul died spiritually. Now, you were born into a fallen race, an Adamic race, but God didn't send you to hell for what Adam did. He sent you to hell for your own sin. All right, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, that's clear. Well, you sinned, didn't you? Well, it wasn't a big sin, Ned, but that's not what he's saying. Well, I didn't kill anybody. It didn't say that. What did he say? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the Bible. Any sin that you ever committed, after you knew right from wrong, then you died spiritually. All right, now what are you going to do about it? All right. Now then, the soul is in this shall die, but the gift of God's eternal life. Now, you can be saved just one way. Right there by your radio this morning. You can say, well, here I am. I have sinned. I know it. And I'm sorry. And I believe Jesus died for me. I can't save myself. I can't partly save myself. I just trust him. You can do it right there. Why don't you do that this morning? Now, why don't you? Maybe you've been a church member going on through the years, not understanding. Why don't you just let this be the day? Whether you have or whether you haven't, why don't you say, right here and now, I'll trust him as my Savior. And then you're not condemned. You're passed out from under condemnation. And you're a new creature, a new creation in Jesus Christ. Lord, help you to trust him. Our Father, bless all who have listened in this morning. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Keep us faithful to thee, Lord. Use us for thy glory. Help us to be true to the Lord Jesus, the one that died for us and rose from the dead, our own personal Savior. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.